This is Ronald Colman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. The play you're about to hear is A Doll's House by the great Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen. When it was first presented on the stage, the conduct of the principal character, Nora, was fiercely debated and criticized. Heated arguments took place as to who was to blame for this domestic tragedy. The wife, the husband, or Mr. Ibsen himself? Well, every man to his own opinion. A distinguished American musician, Mr. Alfred Wallenstein, suggested that we present A Doll's House as his favorite story. John Beale, Janet Waldo, and William Conrad, all of them favorite story favorites, are among the voices you will hear. And Claude Sweeten now gives the overture to Act One.
My little lark I hear twittering so prettily?
Yes, it is.
Is it my little squirrel bustling about?
Yes.
And when did my little dove come home?
Just now. Come in here, Torvald, and see what I've bought.
I can't be disturbed just now, Nora. I bought, did you say?
Yes. Look at all these things, Torvald.
Nora, has my little spendthrift been wasting money again?
Yes, but this Christmas we can really let ourselves go a little. Just a little. Are you going to have a big salary and earn lots and lots of money?
Yes, after the first of the year. But it will be a whole month before the salary is due.
Oh, we can borrow till then.
Nora.
Why not? You're going to have a big position at the bank. You'll be the head of the bank in just two more weeks.
Yes.
So why shouldn't we borrow a little to give ourselves the brightest Christmas in the world?
My same little featherhead. Nora, how many times have I told you? There can be no freedom or beauty about a home life that depends on borrowing.
Yes, Torvald.
We two have kept on the straight road so far. We are in debt to no man, and we must keep it that way.
Yes, Torvald. But to give the children a happy Christmas?
No.
As you please, Torvald.
Now, come, come. My little skylark mustn't droop her wings.
Why is it so important other people borrow money?
Yes,
sometimes you need it. You must have it.
No.
Remember, Torvald, when you were so sick 2 years ago?
Yes.
The doctor said you must go to Italy for the winter or die.
And I thank God your father was able to give us that money.
That was borrowing.
It was not, although we would have paid him back if he'd lived.
Oh.
That was an emergency, Nora.
Well?
This is no emergency. Next year will be the best and richest year of our lives so far. But this Christmas, we shall celebrate as we always have and be thankful.
Yes, Torvald.
That's right. But what does my little squirrel want for Christmas, hmm?
Oh,
What does my extravagant little person want for herself, huh?
For myself? You might give me money.
What?
Only just as much as you can afford. Then someday I'll buy something with it.
But
oh,
Nora.
Dear Torvald, please, please do. Then I shall wrap it up in beautiful gilt paper and hang it on the Christmas tree. Wouldn't that be fun, Torvald? Oh, there's the bell. Someone at the door. What a nuisance.
We'll have a servant someday just to answer the doorbell for you.
Will we, Torvald? Oh, it's lovely to hear you say it.
Go answer it, dear. I'll be in the study, but I can't be disturbed by any callers.
All right, Torvald. I'll send them away. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Helmer.
Oh, my husband is not here. He cannot see any callers.
I'm not here to see your husband, Mrs. Helmer. I came to see you.
To see me?
Yes.
It's not the first of the month yet.
No. In a few hours, it'll be Christmas Eve, and it's up to you what sort of a Christmas you will have.
What do you want? Today it is absolutely impossible.
Will you have the courtesy to invite me inside your house, please?
No, no, I'm very busy.
Then I shall come in without the invitation.
Please, Mr. Krogstad, you have no right. Why, you're only one of my husband's subordinates. When anyone is in a subordinate position, Mr. Krogstad, they should really be careful to avoid offending anyone who
has influence?
Exactly. Although I am a woman, I should hope I have a tiny bit of influence with my husband.
Mrs. Helmer, you will be so good as to use your influence on my behalf.
What?
You will be so kind as to see that I am allowed to keep my subordinate position in the bank.
I don't understand. Who's going to take your position away from you?
Your husband, Mrs. Helmer, has never liked me.
But you're old friends.
Old acquaintances. Perhaps that is why he's never liked me. I've known him too long.
Mr. Krogstad,
On the first of the year, your husband will be promoted to the position of bank manager. I have little doubt that one of his first official acts will be to give me notice of my dismissal. I must ask you to use your influence to prevent that.
Mr. Krogstad, I have no influence.
No? You just told me you had. Listen to me, Mrs. Helmer. If necessary, I'm prepared to fight for my small post in the bank as if I were fighting for my life.
So it seems.
It's not only for the money, for the salary. There's another reason. Well, I may as well tell you. I dare say that you know that once, many years ago, I was guilty of an indiscretion.
I think I've heard something of that kind.
The matter never came into court, but every way seemed closed to me after that. Finally, I found this poor position in the bank. I've tried to win back as much respect as I can for the sake of my sons. They're growing up. I want them to have some pride in their father. But now your husband is going to kick me downstairs again under the mud.
You must believe me, Mr. Krogstad. It's not in my power to help you at all.
Then it's because you don't want to. But I have a way to compel you.
You won't tell my husband that I owe you money.
Suppose I did tell him.
You couldn't be so ugly. It would put me in a horribly disagreeable position.
Only disagreeable? Either you have a very bad memory, Mrs. Helmer, or you know very little of business. Perhaps I should remind you of a few details.
Details?
When your husband was ill, you came to me to borrow $1,500.
The doctor said he must go to Italy.
I promised to get you that amount.
Yes, and you did.
On the condition that your father should put his signature on the promissory note as co-signer for my protection.
I sent the paper to father, and he signed it. Why must you talk about this horrid matter?
There is a curious thing about your father's signature. He was very ill at the time, wasn't he?
Yes. He died soon afterwards.
I wonder if you can, by any chance, recall the day of the month your father passed away.
Papa died on the 29th of September.
Isn't it curious that he signed your promissory note 3 days after his death? Your father died on the 29th of September, but here on the promissory note, your father has dated his signature the 2nd of October. Isn't it odd? Another curious thing, I know your father's handwriting from various documents he signed at the bank. And this signature doesn't resemble his at all. It has a more feminine quality. Of course, I know your father was very weak, very ill. That might account for it. And he might easily have mistaken the date. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? The big question is the signature. It is genuine, I suppose, Mrs. Helmer. It was your father himself who signed his name here.
I signed it. I wrote Papa's name.
Are you aware that this is a dangerous confession?
You shall have your money soon. I couldn't send it to Papa. He was so ill. I couldn't worry him, and we had to have the money to go to Italy.
Do you realize, Mrs. Helmer, you were guilty of fraud?
I did it to give my husband a vacation. He was suffering from overwork.
The law cares nothing about motives.
Then it's a foolish law.
It is the law, nevertheless, and I can assure you that my one false step, which lost me all my reputation, was nothing more and nothing worse than what you've done.
You can't frighten me, Mr. Krogstad.
No? Then think about this over your Christmas holiday. If your husband discharges me from the bank, I shall be obliged to disclose your carelessness in a court of law. Goodbye, Mrs. Helmer. Merry Christmas.
Merry.
Nora.
Yes? Yes, Torvald?
Who was my little skylark talking with out there?
No one, Torvald. No one you'd be interested in. No one at all. Torvald,
huh?
Look at me.
Oh, I must shield my eyes. My little skylark is dressed like a queen.
Well, this is my new dress for the party at the Sternborgs tomorrow. Do you like it, Torvald? I must know if it pleases you. Is it all right?
How much did it cost?
Almost nothing. I made most of it myself. With a little help from the dressmaker.
Oh, why, it's beautiful.
What are all those papers?
Bank business.
Already?
I've got authority from the retiring manager to make a few staff changes.
I don't suppose you're going to dismiss anyone?
Only one man.
Who?
A clerk.
What's his name?
Krogstad. Ah, that finishes everything. I'll take these letters out to post, and then we shall have our dinner. Huh, little skylark?
It seems a great pity.
What?
To give a man, a poor clerk, his dismissal on Christmas.
Krogstad has had this coming for a long time, Nora. He's a bad sort. He should have been dismissed long ago.
Why? What did he do?
He forged someone's name. Have you any idea what that means?
Perhaps he was driven to do it.
Perhaps. But when I am manager of the bank, I can't risk having a dishonest employee. So I'm letting him go.
Is that the letter?
This? Yes, this is the letter that will tell Mr. Krogstad we no longer require his services.
Don't send it.
What?
Please, don't mail that letter.
What is this?
For the sake of your love for me, Torvald, I beg you.
Nora.
Do not mail that letter.
Henrik Johan Ibsen was a lonely man. He had no close friends. He exiled himself from his native country because the government declined to give him a poet's pension. But he was a playwright whose words and ideas seem as alive today as they did when he first scratched them on paper 50-odd years ago. And the problems of a doll's house are reenacted with variations almost every day in every city of this Western world. Nora, who has forged her father's name to a promissory note, is being blackmailed by her creditor, Nils Krogstad. But her husband is about to discharge Krogstad from his job. Nora is trying desperately to keep her husband from dismissing the man. Here is Act Two of Alfred Wallenstein's favorite story.
Skylark, has it been a merry Christmas for you?
Oh, yes, indeed. A perfect Christmas, Torvald. And the children, my babies, they enjoyed it so.
And my little doll wife enjoyed it too, didn't she?
Oh, yes, Torvald.
And tonight you shall wear your new dress to the Sternborgs party, and you'll dance and laugh and delight everyone.
Torvald?
Hmm?
If your little squirrel were to ask you for something very, very prettily.
What then?
Would you do it?
I should like to hear what it is first.
Well, your squirrel would run about and do all her tricks.
Nora, surely you don't mean that request you made of me yesterday.
Yes, Torvald. I beg you, earnestly.
Have you really the courage to open up that question again?
Oh, yes, dear. You must do as I ask. You must let Mr. Krogstad keep his post at the bank.
No, no, I don't want to hear Nils Krogstad's name again in this house. The matter's settled, finished, and done with. By now, he's already received the notice of his dismissal, and we're through with him for good. Isn't that true, little Miss Obstinate?
You say it is true, Torvald. So it must be true.
Good evening, Mrs. Helmer.
Speak low. My husband is at home.
No matter about that. You know, I suppose, that I've got my dismissal.
I couldn't prevent it, Mr. Krogstad.
I have written a letter to your husband.
Oh, telling him everything?
In as lenient a manner as possible.
Well, he mustn't get the letter. Tear it up. I'll find a way to get you the money.
Mrs. Helmer, I'm no common blackmailer. I can't be bought.
What do you want, then?
I want only to rehabilitate myself. I want to get on. I want my family, my children, my friends to be proud of me. To see me on the street and say, there goes Nils Krogstad. He holds a responsible position at the bank. Instead of saying, poor Nils Krogstad, he made a mistake once. Now he can't hold a job.
But is this any way to start over? Do you intend to build your new life of honesty on the blackmailing of me and my husband? Mr. Krogstad, I understand your feeling. I have children, and I love them as much as you must love yours. But this I know. If you really seek a new, good life, Mr. Krogstad, how can it come from bullying me and threatening my home?
Mrs. Helmer,
evil, this is evil. You know it's evil. From roots such as this, how can you grow anything that is good? How?
Mrs. Helmer, my letter is already in your mailbox.
We must get it out.
You have a key?
No. Torvald never gave me a key to the mailbox.
He has a very trusting nature, your husband.
Your letter tells him everything?
Everything.
And it's lying there in the box. Oh, yes, I see it. And I can't reach it. Oh, Mr. Krogstad, why have you done this to me?
I'm sorry. I have not meant to hurt you, but I've been hurt. I'm not an evil man, Mrs. Helmer, but I've followed the only course that I could see open to me. Good night, Mrs. Helmer.
Ah, oh, my little singing bird was a tremendous success tonight. Oh, what an evening, what an evening.
Oh, Torvald, what are you doing out there in the hall?
Nothing, my dear, just emptying the mailbox.
No, Torvald, not tonight. Oh. This is Christmas night, our party night. You don't want to spoil it by getting stupid old letters out of the mailbox.
Well, there'll be no room for the newspaper in the morning.
But you're not going to read the letters tonight, are you, Torvald? Oh. I know how tired you are.
Better glance through them, see if there's anything important.
Torvald, watch. Watch, I'm going to dance for you, Torvald. Look at me, Torvald. Your little skylark is dancing for you. Watch me whirl, Torvald, whirling round and round and round.
Stop!
And round and round. Yes, Torvald?
Do you know what's in this letter?
Yes, Torvald.
Is this true? No. Oh, it's not possible. It can't be true.
Let go of me, Torvald. Yes, it's true. I've loved you above everything else in the world.
Don't let's have any silly excuses.
I take all the responsibility. You shall not suffer for my sake.
No tragedy heirs, please. I require an explanation. Do you understand what you've done? Answer me. Do you understand what you've done?
Torvald.
After 8 years, the girl who was my joy, my pride, a hypocrite and a liar. Worse than that, a forger, a criminal.
I didn't do it for myself.
You've ruined my future, destroyed all my happiness.
But I...
Now be silent. You've put me in the power of an unscrupulous man. He can do what he likes with me. Give me any orders he pleases, and I dare not refuse. Do you understand what you've done?
Yes. Now I'm beginning to understand thoroughly.
It's incredible. Can't take it in. Take off that foolish dress. Take it off, I say. Oh, this matter must be hushed up at any cost. As for you and me, it must appear that everything between us is just as it was. But naturally, only to the eyes of the world. You'll still remain in my house. That's a matter of course, but I shall not allow you to bring up the children. I wouldn't dare to trust them to you. All that concerns us now is to save the remains, the fragments, the appearance. Oh, now, who would that be at this hour? Go to the door, Nora. Answer it.
Yes, Torvald. There's no one here.
That's odd. I heard the bell, didn't you?
There's something in the mailbox.
Oh, so there is.
It's addressed to me.
No, you'll not have it. It's from Krogstad. I'll read it myself.
Read it, then.
I'm afraid. This may be the ruin of both of us. Nora. No, it can't be. Oh, it's true. I'm saved. Nora, I'm saved.
And I?
Oh, you do, of course. We're both saved. Look, he sends you back your note. He says he regrets. He's going away to start his life all over again. You see, he's a coward. He's afraid.
Give me the letter.
He says two wrongs cannot make a right. Oh, much he would know of right and wrong. Oh, we're saved, Nora. And this hateful paper. There now. This whole thing should be nothing but a bad dream to me. Your promissory note doesn't exist any longer. It's all over. Don't you realize it, Nora? Why such a cold, set face? Ah, you want my forgiveness. I forgive you, Nora.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
Well, don't go. What are you doing in there?
Taking off my fancy dress.
Yes, do. Get ready for bed, my little squirrel. Everything will be cozy and warm and... Nora, why are you getting dressed again?
I shall not sleep tonight.
But, my dear Nora...
Sit down, Torvald. You and I have much to say to each other.
Why, Nora, I don't understand you.
That's just it. You don't understand me. And I've never understood you either until tonight. Torvald, you've never loved me.
I've never loved you.
You only thought it pleasant to be in love with me. I've been your doll wife and lived in this doll's house. I've existed merely to perform tricks for you, Torvald, to dance for you at parties and be your little singing bird.
How ungrateful you are, Nora. Haven't you been happy here?
Not happy. Only merry. We've played a merry game together, Torvald, you and the children and I. That's why I'm leaving you.
What are you saying?
I must stand quite alone. I'm leaving the house tonight.
I forbid it.
It's no use forbidding me anything any longer.
You would desert your children?
I've been told I'm not fit to bring up my children.
Your sacred duties to the home and family. To me.
I have sacred duties to myself.
Before all else, you are a wife and a mother.
I don't believe that any longer. I believe that before all else, I'm a reasonable human being, just as you are. Don't worry about me, Torvald. I'll find work and support myself.
There can be only one explanation. You don't love me anymore.
That's exactly right, Torvald. I don't love you anymore.
Nora.
It's very painful for me to say it, but it's true. For 8 years, I've been living here with a strange man. I've borne him 3 children. But not once, Torvald, not once in 8 years have you and I exchanged a word on any serious subject. I've been your doll. You've been my master.
Nora, I would gladly work day and night for you. Bear sorrow and want for your sake.
But you'd cut me off from my children because I was foolish enough to sign my dead father's name to a shred of paper.
Nora, you can't leave me.
As I am now, I'm no fit wife for you.
I have it in me, Nora, to become a different man.
Perhaps. If your doll is taken away from you. Good night, Torvald.
Nora, then I can never be anything more than a stranger to you?
Oh, Torvald. The most wonderful thing would have to happen.
Tell me, what would that be?
Both you and I would have to be so changed that... Oh, Torvald, I don't believe anymore in wonderful things happening.
But I will believe. Tell me. So changed that... That what?
That our life together would be a real marriage. Goodbye, Torvald.
Nora! Nora! The most wonderful thing.
The Doll's House. We have no way of knowing what happened to Torvald and Nora after their separation. But there's a ray of hope, at least, as Torvald ponders what his wife has said. The most wonderful thing of all would have to happen. Did it happen? I think Mr. Ibsen left it for each of us to guess. We must thank John Beale, Janet Waldo, and William Conrad for their excellent performances. And, of course, our thanks to Mr. Alfred Wallenstein, who chose The Doll's House as his favorite story. Next week, a moving story of an old man and a lovely child. It's Reza Stevens' favorite story, The Crime of Sylvestre Bonnard. Crime, however, is rather a strong word for the well-intentioned transgression of Monsieur Bonnard. This adventure was written by Anatole France, who for 30 years dominated French literature. No reputation since Voltaire has been found comparable with his. It was his first novel, and in many ways his most delightful. We hope you'll be listening.